Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me today, not in the studio, but on Zoom from Apeldoorn, Netherlands, Dedek and Hanneke Debling. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, it was great having you on before, Dedek, but I really wanted to hear from both of you, because both of you have so much inside you that I believe leaders all over the world and future leaders really, really need to know. Talk to us about who you are and get a little bit of your history.
I came to Christ in 2000. In 2008, we started a church. We both have our own businesses.
Right.
I always had my business, Hanneke sometimes.
So obviously we are married. We have three girls. We live in the Netherlands. It's funny, sometimes when we're in the US, we say, oh, we're from the Netherlands. And then someone says, oh, I have a nephew in Sweden, but we don't live in Sweden. So we live in the Netherlands.
It's like when I tell people I'm from Pennsylvania, they say, oh, I have a friend in California. You know, it's the same guy.
Exactly. It's not the same.
And Hanneke, since you were not on the podcast before, talk to us about some of the businesses that you've been involved in and what you learned about leadership there. Hanneke, just get us started. You have not been on before. We want to just download us and what you learned about leadership and some of your experience.
Yeah. I will. I had a business. I don't do it now anymore, but I was, we call it a fashion consultant or a fashion coach. That was the title I gave.
Coach, got it.
And it was really my heart to work with women. So I used it as a tool. So I gave them advice about colors, about fashion. Sure. I went personal shopping. So that was my main business. Of course, we are leading a church together. It's a church at our home. So that's a part in my life where I'm leading, or actually we're leading together. And now at this time, I don't have my own business, but I work with prostitutes who wants to step out of the business, let's say that way. And it really, it's not leading a business, but it's more leading people into freedom, especially women into freedom. And yeah, that's really my heart and the red line through my life.
Right. Now, you were involved in a church in the past for a while, like a community church, involved in like a microchurch, house church. Talk about the difference between the two, either of you.
The difference actually is quite big.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I like about a house church and micro church is it's so simple.
Yeah. Mm.
So we are not busy with rehearsal from the band. We don't have meetings every night. We don't have to set up the church or to clean the church. The only time we spend together is church. So that means that people have time to serve and have friendship outside of the church, much more.
Yeah. And we really do life together. So if something happens in one of the members' lives, it's easy to connect, to come together, to pray, to cry together, to talk together. So it's really organic. It's not planning, but it's organic. And I think that's the part we really love about it.
A lot of the time we get a question, so how does a meeting look like?
Okay.
It's difficult to answer because every week it's quite different. Sometimes it's we have some worship and someone brings his guitar. Another time, if somebody, his mother is ill, by example, it can take half of the meeting. You just focus on this issue and pray for the person. And it's every week is different.
Yeah.
Now, you have experience both in both types of churches because you led for a few years. You led, a church that met in the building, and now you're leading a church that meets in a house. So you have experience in both. You also lead the Dove Europe team. You work with leaders all over Europe. And obviously, it really helps that you've had experience with both, because in the Dove family, we have community churches and we also have micro churches, house churches. So, today, there's a lot of people who are experiencing disciple-making movements. Could you talk to me about that? What is a disciple-making movement? What's that look like? Share your vision, your passion for that, and how that applies to leadership.
I would say the biggest thing about disciple-making movements is that it's a movement which is making disciples who make disciples.
Okay.
And I think that's really, really important, because when I look back when we had our community church, we had a lot of converts, but we didn't have a lot of disciples who made disciples.
Mm.
If you have some house churches together, it's not yet a movement. And some people, and of course, the question is who make the definitions, but some people say if it's on level five, it means that churches start new churches and new churches and new churches. So if it's five levels, then you have a movement. And that's why it's also called is a movement. It's a move of God through ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different than we have, by example, a network of house churches, but that can be level one.
Mm-hmm. So true movement, you're saying, happens after you get to the fourth or fifth generation. Like in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul talks about four generations. So after you experience that, then you're moving into a movement because it continues to move. And am I saying it right? Is that?
Yeah. And it can't stop anymore because it's moving and multiplying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big difference. And I think a lot of people use the term disciple-making movement, but they are not yet there, like us. We are aiming for that, but we don't have a fifth generation yet, even not a second. So it's not a movement yet, but we are aiming for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really, really helpful. Now, I'm assuming teamwork is important in all this. Like, how did you learn over the years to build teams? Obviously, the two of you are a team. But, you know, what are some things you've learned, maybe even the hard way, about building teams? Because that's one of the hardest things to do, yet one of the most important things to do.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest lessons is that you, as a leader, you need to be vulnerable. You need to be open. You need to be, don't pretend you're better. Don't pretend you know more. You're just like the rest, but your assignment is different.
Good.
So I think that's for me, one of the biggest lessons mm-hmm. in building a team. What about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. And also that it's healthy to have some, how you say it, resistance in your team. So people who don't agree, or they will ask a difficult question as a leader, maybe you don't want to answer. But I think that's how God works, through that difficult questions and sometimes even difficult relationships. You get a bigger picture of God's vision on a situation.
So what is there anything more you've learned about team building? Or when you look back, are there some mistakes you made in this whole process? You say, oh, well, I wouldn't do it that way again. It's time to be vulnerable. Here we go. You brought the word up. Let's do it.
Really good.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is to leave control to God.
Yeah.
Even not to the group.
Right.
Because then you got a democracy, but to God. And mm-hmm. Expect and believe God that he will do his will through the group. Because mm-hmm. if I want to take the steering wheel and control, it will give a lot of damage. Or sometimes it will give a lot of damage. Because most of the time people will follow. But of course there need to be leadership in the team. But control is something different.
Yeah.
And it's more a heart issue.
Yeah.
That you surrender the whole team and ministry and church or business to God instead of holding it back.
It's a hard issue because obviously leaders need to lead. And at the same time, leaders need to release control. So it really is a hard issue. And obviously we need to continue to lead ahead when God shows us that. But work with others God brings with us so we're not doing it ourselves. But we're doing this together because God's speaking through many when teams are being built.
Yeah.
So looking back, let me ask you again, looking back, what are some things you would have done differently? I mean, God's used you in many realms of leadership and business and church and different kinds of churches. And now you're leading the Dove Europe team, work with churches throughout Europe. What are some mistakes you may think? I wish you would have done that differently.
Yeah, I think it comes all to the control part. I remember a time when we were leading the community church. We wanted to know who's in and who's not. So people has to say, okay, I'm part of this or I'm not part of this. And that really brought a lot of damage. We thought it would bring clarity for us, but also for the whole church. But it brought a lot of damage.
When
we look back.
We want to put a line around it
and
say, this is our church.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, the whole sentence, this is our church. That's so wrong.
Yeah.
Because Jesus builds the church. So he decides if it's a local community, a local gathering, he decides where the line is. And if I want to put the line on it, it's wrong.
All right. Anything else you would have done differently as you look back? Think, wow, you know, one is the whole control issue. Every leader deals with that. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I mean, every leader deals with that. So it's finding that divine balance between, yes, we're called to lead, but we're not called to control. And it really is a hard issue. I think you've really nailed that down. That's really, really true.
Yeah, when we had this community church, there was a time it stopped. So we decided to bury the seed. So we didn't have a church by that moment.
Right.
And that was the time I realized that all the time I was leading this church, my time with God was mostly about the church and leading the church. So all of a sudden we didn't have a church anymore. And I struggled in the beginning with my time with God because I had no people to pray for. I had no plans, no schedules, no preachers to prepare. So I really struggled with, okay, now I need my time with God to be just about me and God. And that was one thing I really learned through a hard time. But and it will be one of my first things I will say to young leaders. Okay, make sure your personal time with God is your personal time with God.
Beautiful. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I asked last year a couple of leaders just about the relationship with God and their prayer time and Bible study. And they all answered, I was a bit shocked, that they said, okay, most of the time my quiet time is for preparing a message or praying for a service.
Yeah.
That's a very big trick or trap from the Satan to be busy in your time with God, with the church or ministry.
Yeah. We get to think about leadership and all the realms of leadership you've been in already. What brings you the greatest fulfillment? What do you really enjoy about leadership? Hanneke, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's a bit of an open door, but it's when people step into their full potential, when you see people grow. It's like your little girl who's finally learning how to ride a bike and can do it on her own, stand on their own feet and grow and step in their potential. And for me, that would be the...
Derek, do you ride your bike to work?
I do, yeah.
You do. Most people in the world don't know that, but you know, you come to the Netherlands, everybody rides bikes everywhere. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, so every day, 5 kilometers to my office and 5 kilometers back. And I think it's even healthy for your, not only for your body, but also for your mind to have some time in between your work and the home. Mm-hmm. And then you have time to switch from your work to your home. So yeah, I like it.
That's really good. So one of the keys to leadership is riding a bicycle. It keeps you healthy. That's great.
Exactly.
Time to think. Yeah.
I remember a man of God years ago, he said this. He said, it's back in the days when people didn't have computers. They had suitcases. You know, they carry a suitcase to work. He said, halfway home, when I go home, and he was driving in a car. This is in America. He said, I just, in my mind, I think, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to open up my suitcase and dump it out, you know, at the side of the road. Now, it's all figurative, obviously. He said, because when I go home, I want to make sure that I leave all that stuff behind, you know, and I'm really focusing on my family and God, et cetera. And I thought, I never forgot that. I thought that was really good. And what else would you say? People ask you, younger leaders say, how do we stay healthy? I want to be a healthy leader. And I heard you say a few things already. Ride bicycle, keep God first.
A big thing is identity.
Yeah.
If you're not sure about who you are in Christ, if you're not sure that God really loves you, if you're not sure that you really are forgiven, if you're not sure that you are called to do the ministry, and if you're not sure that you can make mistakes, it will be a hassle, it will be difficult.
Right.
So identity is very important before you do ministry. So identity before ministry.
Yeah. Know your identity is in Christ and your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. Now, the two of you have been involved in helping leaders in different parts of the world. Talk about that a little bit. You've been to so many places. Give us any stories you could think of, anything whereby you're able to help other leaders, how you do that, how you are doing that in different parts of the world. I know you're traveling to another part of the world this week. I mean, that's what you do. Talk to me about that.
What I like about it, and maybe it's I think it's connected with the calling. Mm-hmm. If we are on a new place and we like to travel, so we don't find it difficult to travel, we love it. So even right. Eating different food and being on a plane for 8 hours, that's okay. Or in a bus ride for 10 hours, we like it. But if you are there, there's a kind of freedom in your mind and spirit. You have full attention for the people. Mm-hmm. And I always experience an anointing from the Holy Spirit to ask the right questions, say the right things, and open up something in the people, in their hearts, in their minds, in their souls. That will give breakthrough with them. Things started moving. Not because I did something, but because they have a new perspective, a bigger frame, or more revelation. And then things start moving. And that's what I love, because I don't want to start a ministry or a business or a church in another country. But I like them to do that.
And we also really love to bring people with us. We did it, I think we were married for 3 or 4 years, and we begin to bring young people with us to Africa. And we learned them how to live as a Christian. So we prayed for the sick. We talked about Jesus. We prayed for people. And yeah, it was really amazing. We didn't thought about all the dangers and all the things that could happen. And I think that really helped in the beginning. Because when you start thinking about everything that can happen, it also can stop you. But it's when I look back, it's one of the things we did I love the most.
Mm. Well, you are very brave people. I mean, you really are. The things you've done are amazing. You know, a lot of the places that you've gone. I tell Christians all over the world, make sure if possible, get a passport. Because if you have a passport, then God can speak to you. And he can lead you to help somebody in another part of the world in a way you never dreamed possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you're really right. So something about getting out of our area and going to another part of the world, there's an anointing from the Holy Spirit that comes on us to help people. And so I really, really affirm what you're saying. Anything else you would say to younger leaders who would say, Dedeca and Annika, I love what God's done in your life. How can I continue to grow in leadership? Anything else you say? Here's something that's really important to understand. What would you say?
3 words. Just do it. Just take the first step.
Good.
Just talk with your friends about Jesus. Invite people into your home. Schedule something in your calendar to do something. Because if you do, then things start moving. But if you only think about it, there will be never something happening.
Yeah.
True. Hanukkah,
so
what about
act in small steps.
Oh. Yeah. I remember one time I was praying whether to go to Kenya or not. Is it the right time? Do we have enough money? I had a lot of questions. And then God spoke to me and he said, when you don't go, I cannot use you there. Mm. And what I felt was a sort of freedom, almost like he was saying, okay, it's up to you. I gave you a heart for Africa and for the nations. But when you don't go, I cannot use you. And it really helped me in making a decision to go more earlier, more easy, because I know he gives this freedom. And it's what you say when you don't do it. And I think when you grow older, when you're young, you're like this young dog who likes everything and runs over there and over there. But when you're aging a bit, you have experienced some dangers or some worries or some troubles, and sometimes that will keep you down. And then you think, well, maybe I it's better that I don't do it, or maybe I should wait. And I think it really helps to think, okay, I just need to step out. I need to do it. I need to be obedient to God's word.
Did you find it harder now than when you're younger to step out?
Yeah. because I've children. Sometimes
I've children too.
Yeah, we have children. So you have more responsibility. You have more things to worry about in your life. Right. And when you keep on meditating on that, so what can go wrong? It can hold me back.
Well, I want to ask you one more important question, but I want to, first of all, thank you. Thank you for being on this podcast. I mean, your first language is Dutch, and you speak English so well, and I so appreciate you being on this podcast. The two of you are both anointed leaders. How does that work? I mean, you both have run businesses. You serve in leadership in the church together. You know, you're a bit like Priscilla and Aquila in the Bible. You know, you just work together so well. So how does that work for you? Because God's calling many, many couples to serve together in the way you do. Talk to me about that. Was that hard? Did that come natural?
When we just got married, we had a major marriage crisis. And in that time, we went on a trip around the world for 1 year. And it was really, really from God. So we had all the time of the world to just be together and fight our fights. And yeah, he really restored our marriage, or actually he gave us a new marriage. And we were in South Africa and we saw a couple who were leading a church or leading a ministry. I don't know exactly what it was. And they worked together just as one. It was so equal. It was so almost holy. Beautiful. And we were watching it and we said to each other, wow, that would be amazing to work together, husband and wife, like they do. So we just simply prayed and asked God, this is what we want. We want to work together like this couple. And that's what he did.
And like, how does that work for you? I mean, you do work together so well. You know, you lead Dove Europe together. I mean, the two of you together. Anything else you could offer that would help younger and even couples in that realm?
Yeah, I think you have to acknowledge that God made you different. So I am a bit more administrative, things like that. Sometimes even practical things I can do easier, but Hanneke can do other things.
Yeah.
So if I put my skills and I expect her to do the things I like and I can do easily, I did in the past, it gave you a burden and a pressure that I need to be, to do, to act like me.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work.
Yeah. So now there's a lot of respecting each other in the different roles, how we work together.
Yeah.
I think that's one of our biggest bases from where we work from.
Yeah. And the second thing I would say, maybe even it's more a man issue, but it's about identity. I know the moment that churches start asking Hanneke more often to speak than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I was happy that she got a chance. And then something inside me was, well, why don't I like it? Or I like it and I don't like it. And it's just about identity. Do I know that God has a place for me in his kingdom to serve people? And what if Hanneke will be the main speaker, by example, and speaking is only a small part of the whole kingdom, but if she is the main speaker who will be invited, can I rejoice and can I be secure in it? Yeah. And I decided, yeah, I can do that. And it's a kind of a decision. Well, if she will have a bigger, and the question is, what is bigger, a bigger ministry than me, is the blessing or is it a threat? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, it's a blessing, because if my ministry was only praying for her and that was my ministry, then I will obey to that ministry.
That's so good. Thank you for being vulnerable. I mean, Laverne and I are married 52 years now, and, you know, we've ministered together all these years. And I find now, the older I get, Laverne is asked to speak in ways I'm not. And I think it's amazing. But I think what happens is, after years together, God just works that identity and security in our lives where we really honor one another and want to see, we really want to see what God has for us as a couple and also for us individually. Any last minute words of wisdom you have before we sign off today? While you're thinking, I want everyone to know that if you want to know more about Dedek and Hanukkah, Dove Europe, all that God's doing through them, check out the show notes, it's all in the show notes, and you can learn a whole lot more about what God's doing in them and through them. Hanukkah, then Dedek.
Yeah, just remember that God is already at work. So it's his kingdom is not dependent on you. God is already at work. In John, I think it's John 5, Jesus says, my Father is always working and so am I. So it's really important to figure out where God is already at work so you can cooperate with him. And that really, really helps a lot.
That's powerful. Yeah.
Only amen.
Amen.
That's a joy to have you on the podcast today. And again, everyone, thank you for joining us today. This podcast now is being listened to by people in 170 some nations of the world. And so we're very blessed with what God's doing with the podcast and blessed, Dedek and Hanukkah, with your lives and all God's doing through you. So thank you for joining me today. And for everyone, we'll see you back here next week. It was a joy having you on the Larry Crowder Leadership Podcast, where we learn these small changes we can make that make a massive difference in our lives and the lives of those we serve. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crowder's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrowder.com.